Welcome back to our study of Exodus. We are in chapter 22, and we're going to begin with verse 13. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn.
So here again, this has to do with a person keeping an animal for somebody else. So if that animal's been torn in pieces, like another animal's attacked that animal, whatever, then the remains are to be brought as a witness that that's actually what occurred. And in such cases, the one who was keeping the animal did not have to pay for the loss of the animal.
And if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. But if the owner thereof is with it, he shall not make it good. If it be a hired thing, it came for his hire.
So if a man borrows an animal from someone, and the animal's injured or dies, then and his owner wasn't with the animal, then the one who borrowed the animal had to give just restitution to the owner of the animal. However, if the owner was with the animal, then harm came to the animal. No restitution had to be made because the owner and animal were working for wages. It's sort of like you can rent a piece of equipment and do something, but if you tear up that piece of equipment or it breaks, you're responsible for it. But if you hire somebody to do the job and the equipment they're using breaks, then it's not your responsibility, it's theirs. Mm-hmm. Follow that same principle.
Okay. And if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins.
So if a man seduced a virgin and she was not engaged, and he seduced her into having sexual relations with him, then he had to pay the father of that virgin the price of a bride. There was a price of a bride. You understand? They call it dowry, okay? And she would become his wife. However, if the father refused to give his daughter to the man, then that man had to pay the father the price of a virgin and not have his wife or his wife. Okay.
Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live.
Well, right there it is. Witch, warlock, anyone who practiced magic was to be killed. If you enforced that law today, you'd have a mass execution, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it wasn't enforced. If it would have stayed enforced, you wouldn't have all this running rampant today.
Hmm.
You understand that these are people that are operating by demonic spirit. And so God's law is saying you keep that demonic spirits suppressed by not giving them someone to work through. They have to have a person to work through, you understand?
Whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death.
Anyone who had sexual relations with an animal, bestiology, then that animal was to be killed and the person was to be killed. It's confusion.
He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed.
But if this made Israel distinct, you have one God in that nation. You can't count the gods in this nation. If you worshipped any other god than the one true Jehovah God in Israel, you were to be killed. God's law.
Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt.
So the Israelites were not to suppress foreigners because they too had been foreigners when they were living in Egypt. And they were suppressed so they knew what it was like to be suppressed. So don't you do it to someone else.
You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless.
So widows and orphans were not to be mistreated. And if they cried out to the Lord because of mistreatment, then the Lord declared that he would hear their cry, he would become very angry, and that he would kill the violator with a sword. Then his wife would be a widow, and his children would have no father. Make you not want to mistreat a widow or an orphan, right?
Mm-hmm. If you lend money to any of my people that are poor by you, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it to him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious.
So if one loaned money to any of God's people, he makes a distinction here. He's not talking about a foreigner. Okay? But if you loan money to one of God's people who was poor, then he was not to charge interest on the money that he loaned. If one's clothing was taken for security or as collateral, then it had to be returned to him by sundown because that's what he covered himself with when he slept. And if one cried to God because his garment had not been returned by sundown, God said that he would hear him because he was a gracious God. And God hears, and then God takes action against the wrongdoer.
Thou shalt not revile the God, or God, nor curse the ruler of thy people.
So the descendants of Israel were commanded not to mock God, nor, listen to this one, speak derogatorily of their leaders.
Thou shalt not...
It didn't even say good leaders. Did it?
Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me.
First fruits, right? The Israelites were not to delay in giving the juice from their vineyards to the Lord, and they were to give their firstborn sons also. Now, understand, giving the firstborn son does not mean killing him. It means you redeem him. Or in Hannah's case, she gave him to the Lord, and he served the Lord. Samuel served the Lord in the temple, became one of Israel's greatest prophets.
Life.
It's amazing how we dedicate babies to the Lord, but don't follow through with the dedication. I'll just let that be out there, okay?
Likewise shall thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth thou shalt give it to me. Thou shalt give it me.
So the Israelites were not to delay in giving the firstborn of their flocks or herds to the Lord. Ox, sheep, goat. It was to nurse from its mother 7 days. And then on the eighth day it was to be given to the Lord. Now remember what God said before Israel ever made its exodus. That because he was requiring Pharaoh's firstborn as a redemption, right? In other words, you're going to pay a price and let my people go. Then he said, now, from now on, he's telling Moses, Israelites have to give their firstborn. So firstborn ox, sheep, goat, whatever, you have to give your firstborn son to the Lord. That's the Lord's. It's just a reminder of redemption. Right? God gets it off of the top, not off of the bottom. Give Him your best.
Verse 31, "And you shall be holy men unto me, neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beast in the field. You shall cast it to the dogs."
And so what God is doing, He's wanting Israel to be set apart. I'm talking about an entire nation. He's wanting that nation to be set apart for Himself. And so therefore He's not allowing them to eat certain foods, like meat of an animal that had been killed by another animal. They give their meat to the dogs. Don't eat that. You're a different people. You're not a scavenger.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so he had rules set up for that nation, a constitution for that nation that would make them different than any nation on earth. Now, that's pointing to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We operate by grace, by faith. But our faith in God separates us from any other nation on earth. You understand? The church lives by faith in Jesus Christ. All these religious things of the world are living by works, not by faith. God wants us living by faith. He wants us to have a lifestyle that's distinctly different from the world. Not to blend into the world, and certainly not to bring the world into the church to where it defiles the church as it's doing today. But to be distinctly different. We are a holy nation. God wanted Israel to be a holy nation, pointing to the body of Christ, the church, okay?
All right, chapter 23. We're going to emphasize justice in this chapter, the sabbatical year, the three required festivals, unleavened bread, harvest, and ingathering, and the importance of obeying the angel of the Lord. Now, before we move on, I want to review a test question with you. The following three feasts were to be celebrated annually, and that's your key word, annually, by all male Israelites who were to appear before God: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. All right. Verse 1. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness.
So a false rumor was not to be spread. Neither was one to collaborate with evil people to become an untruthful witness. You don't spread false rumor. Just in this primary election, I saw for one, and I'm going to be very vague with all this, okay, to where one candidate is actually spreading lies about another candidate. That is a false witness. That is a false rumor that's being spread on this person. Why? The objective is to harm that person. You with me? That's what any false witness would do. Any rumor, false rumor that's being spread, the whole purpose of that's to bring harm to whomever that rumor's being spread about. Tell the truth. You understand that's what he's saying in his constitution? Be people of truth. Be people of integrity.
Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to rest judgment.
So one was not to become part of the crowd of people who wanted to do evil. Neither was one to give an untrue statement that would prevent justice from being served. In other words, don't go with the flow. Don't just join the mob for a hanging party. Don't get involved in that stuff. Keep yourself distinctly different.
Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause.
Well, just because the man's a poor man doesn't mean you show favoritism to him. Do justice. If he's wrong, give justice. If he's right, give justice. But don't show partiality because he's poor.
If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again.
Now, this is a tough one. It teaches you how to treat your enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyone saw an ox or a donkey that belonged to one of his enemies, if that donkey or that animal had strayed, then take it back to the owner.
If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him.
Well, if you see that animal weighed down with a burden, can't get up, don't desist in helping your enemy with the animal. Come to his rescue. Mm-hmm. Do good to those.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're doing good to you or not. We have to learn that we're to do to people like we want people to do to us, not like they do to us. You've heard the golden rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's saying. Don't do like the Western rule, do unto others before those others do it unto you.
Mm-hmm.
No, do unto others as you want them to do to you. Okay?
Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause.
Now here again, he's giving you the other side. Don't pervert judgment of a poor man in a legal matter. Give justice. Don't favor him and don't disfavor him. Make sure that you rule righteously, justly. Okay?
Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and the righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked.
So a person is to remove himself from a false matter. Don't get involved in it. Don't be a conspirator to it. And don't kill the innocent or the just. The Lord declared that he would not justify the wicked. Nobody's getting by with anything. But understand that these are governing laws of the nation of Israel when this nation's being instituted as a nation.
And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous.
It was against God's law to receive a bribe or a gift. A gift is a bribe. He said because it prevents wise men from administering justice, and their statements would become perverted. And I'm telling you, the world is full of this, especially your big corporate people are giving money under the table for whatever to get things to be ruled in their favor. You think about what a lobbyist is. A lobbyist is trying to influence something a certain way. They're not seeking justice. They're seeking partiality to this particular segment of people. God had laws set for that. Don't pervert justice, but judge righteously.
Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt.
The Israelites were not to oppress foreigners because they knew what it was like to be in a foreigner for their experience in the land of Egypt. They didn't say a thing about illegal immigrants. He's talking about foreigners that come into your land, okay? Not that you mistreat people, but you are to judge righteously. You understand? And so there are laws set in motion that are to be enforced. And God had these laws set in the nation of Israel. But he's saying just because a person's of a different nationality, don't you oppress that person. Okay?
And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with your vineyard and with thy olive yard.
And here's God's economy balance part of it, okay? It says 6 years you work. Work your land for 6 years. Farm, you know, bring your crops, your vineyards, whatever, for 6 years. But then the seventh year, you let the land rest. You don't plow it. You don't mess with the land. You don't try to harvest. Anything growing of itself, you leave that to the poor people. You understand? And so he declared a Sabbath, a rest, for the land. Now, I'm not legalistic and I'm not under law, but I do have some common sense that would tell me it would be in our favor to let the land rest sometime. That's why you're not getting minerals and nutrients and all out of your land today. I mean, buy a tomato which you get mine the water. Let the land rest. I mean, even in, I remember in high school they taught crop rotation and all this and, you know, how to give the soil time to rejuvenate. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what God's saying. You let that land rejuvenate, and whatever it's producing during that time, leave it to the poor people. Don't be greedy. You understand that's the underlying message? Don't be greedy.
Mm-hmm. 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, and thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed.
Now here again, you look at this naturally speaking. The seventh day, they were to rest. No work. You can't work your slaves. Give your animals a break. Don't work your animals. Everybody resting on the seventh day. Okay? Now, we know that that's pointing to our rest in Jesus. Do you understand? But this was in the natural, that was governing a natural nation with laws, a constitution. God was covering all the bases through what's commonly called the law of Moses. God gave Moses these laws. Moses did not come up with them himself. He didn't have a committee writing laws. God gave them.
Verse 13, and in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth.
So God, the Lord's telling the Israelites, you give attention to everything I say.
Mm-hmm.
And he prohibited them from giving attention to or talking about other gods. Don't get in the discussions and studying other gods. And our Bible colleges want to teach comparative religion to where you study this religion, this religion, this religion. You study one God, the true God. Don't even talk about the other gods. That was God's command to the nation. I'm the God of the nation. Don't you talk about other gods. You talk about this God, the one who provides for you, cares for you, protects you.
You know, and there's such a deception, and it's entered into the education system with this, with, well, we need to respect all, and you need to learn about these other countries and these other religions and these other countries and be knowledgeable. And that's just opening the door for talking about other gods.
It confuses you. And here's why. Because they all have a truth. Bait. You understand? So leave it alone. Don't talk about it. As long as I'm alive, this college will never have a comparative religion. Our objective is to teach you the truth. We don't need to talk about other religion. I don't need to tell you what's wrong with this one, what's wrong with this one, what's wrong with this one. I need to tell you what's right with this one. I need to tell you what's right with Jesus, what's right with the kingdom of God. And if we give you the truth, you'll recognize the counterfeit. You understand? So we don't have to talk about the counterfeit.
Mm.
Talk about the truth. The genuine.
Mm. Verse 14. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in a year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou came out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty.
So these were required.
Mm.
That means every year you go to this festival. And this is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which started with Passover. So Passover, unleavened bread, was required. All the males had to go. It's actually pointing to salvation or redemption, if you think about it, okay? Now, don't go empty-handed. Don't go before the Lord without anything to offer to the Lord. You go to this annually, and you take sacrifice with you to give to the Lord. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
You're honoring the Lord. This is not some festival to honor you and for you to have fun and party. This was honoring God. God is the center of attention in all this. And the celebrations we have today is all centered around men, not God. Even your holidays, whether it's Christmas or Easter, they're not centered around God. They're centered around people.
Mm.
These festivals were to be centered around God. This was a very sacred thing. And God says, I require the males to be there. But it's amazing how Israel didn't keep these things. God's wanting them to recognize that pastor, hey, listen, this is when I supernaturally delivered you out of Egyptian bondage and made a nation out of you. The word, you became a sovereign nation. Now, this is the constitution for this sovereign nation. Follow the statutes. Simple enough?
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, they didn't follow the statutes. Go before the Lord. Bring sacrifice to the Lord. Do this annually.
Verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field.
So they were required to bring the first fruits to the Lord. And first fruits is the first things that your crop's producing.
Mm.
You bring it to the Lord. Give to the Lord off the top. Give to the Lord first. This is what he's saying. If you give to the Lord first, it's amazing how you're just taken care of. You honor God, God honors you. But if you dishonor God, then there's consequence to that. Not that God's trying to get back at you, but you take yourself out from under the protection and provision of God by not doing things God's way. Give Him the first fruits. That was required. Give Him the first fruits.
And then the festival of ingatherings, that was celebrated in the fall after the crops were harvested.
And so that's celebrated in the fall after the crops have been harvested. Now you think about this, and these required feasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just give you this to think about. We're not setting it in concrete as doctrine or anything like that. But I look at Passover as redemption. That's required. If you're going to go into the presence of God, that's required. And then you look at the first fruits, the harvest. You understand? Day of Pentecost. And then after all that, the Feast of Ingatherings. After your crops been gathered in, then you honor God. You understand? Three times. And all three times you're honoring God and realizing what God has done for you. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So I can see redemption. I can see the Holy Spirit. I can see the catching away. Required festivals. Okay.
Three times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord God.
And all the males appear before the Lord. No exemptions. You appear before the Lord.
Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning.
And you couldn't offer leavened bread with a blood sacrifice. And the fat of the sacrifice couldn't be left to the morning. It had to be totally consumed. Okay? Now, when you're giving a blood sacrifice, give bread that's not anything active involved in it. It's pure, it's clean bread. Okay?
The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk.
So he iterates, bring the first fruits of your land, of your crop, bring that to the Lord, to the house of the Lord. And then he says it's unlawful to boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Interesting law.
Mm-hmm.
Included in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You with me? God's humane.
Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared.
So the Lord said to the Israelites that he would send an angel before the Israelites, and this angel would protect them along the way. In other words, this is being led by the Spirit, okay? And so you're going to be protected along the way. But then he added this, that this angel would take them to the place the Lord had appointed for them. Okay? Just follow him. I'm sending him before you. Follow him. He knows where to take you. The Holy Spirit knows where to take us. Quit trying to tell him where you want to go and get him to put his stamp of approval on it. Be led by the Spirit of God. That's basically what this is the type and shadow of, okay?
Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him.
Okay. The Lord said, all right, you pay attention to this angel. You'd better obey his voice. And you be certain that you don't provoke him, because he will not pardon your rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Here again is pointing to the Holy Spirit. He's pointing to the Holy Spirit. Don't you provoke him. He's not going to pardon your rebellion. Jesus will forgive you of your sin. But after your sin's forgiven, you follow the Spirit of God. And don't be rebelling against the Holy Spirit. Don't you provoke Him. You're just sealing your destiny when you do that.
But if you shall indeed obey His voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto your enemies and an adversary unto your adversaries.
All right, last point. The Lord says, right, if you obey this angel, if you do what He says, you follow Him, you go where He goes, I'll be an adversary to your enemies. I'll fight your battles, in other words, is what He's saying. You with me? If we're led by the Spirit of God, then God is going to stand up for us. He is with us. He is the adversary to our enemies. And so we're not engaging the enemy in battle. The battle's the Lord's, and the Lord will take care of this thing. This is basically what He's saying. All right, our time's up, so we'll have to stop here. Okay. We have any of these laws like this in our Constitution? But if God expected people to honor Him, why? Because if He's going to obligate Himself to the whole nation, that nation needs to obligate itself to Him. Good lesson for the church, okay? Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed, to enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up. Let Your enemies be scattered and those who hate You flee before You. Amen. Now, remember, you're not living under the law, you're under grace. But use the law so you can understand the principles. Okay?